Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
On this episode of Wobble, we are joined by, honestly, I want to say a British national treasure.
I would completely 100% agree. Absolutely.
I met Claudia years ago when I was just first starting out in the industry, and she very much took me under her wing. And as I can literally personally say and vouch for, her advice has got me through so many really tough times. And I've always said to you, haven't I, like, you will love Claudia. Like, Claudia's advice is next to none. She delivers the line. She delivers the bullet that you need to hear.
Yes.
And she's just one of those almost guardian angels for me in London that just is always there when I need her.
Claudia Winkleman is a broadcaster. She is on the radio, on BBC Radio 2. She, of course, co-presents Strictly Come Dancing.
Yes.
And does tons and tons of other stuff on TV and radio. And she writes, she does all kinds of stuff. She's just a bit of a feminist icon hero, actually.
Yes. Now, we recorded with Claudia to celebrate her latest collaboration with Number 7, which is all around Number 7 skincare. Now, they have this amazing new clinically proven skincare product, which is their Dark Circle Corrector. Now, this, we got very carried away, didn't we?
I nearly put it all over me.
It's glorious. And it really, like, I keep mine in the fridge and it just gives me this gorgeous, like, de-puffing. It cools the skin. Claudia loves it. I really rate this product. And this isn't sponsored.
No.
This is not a sponsored episode. We just love this product.
Absolutely. We were so excited to have Claudia. There is so much brilliant stuff here.
This episode has also been filmed and the best bits are saved to IGTV. So go over there, have a little look and enjoy the gorgeousness that is Claudia.
So Number 7 call and they say, look, will you be an ambassador? Quite excited. Do you know what I mean? I thought official title, a hat, a tray of Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah,
I've never been asked to be an ambassador. And I've always loved the brand because it feels like it's for people like me, like normal humans. You know, there's some makeup which is like, yeah, I'm in Mykonos in a tiny bikini and this lip gloss has changed my life. I'm never wearing a bikini and I'm not in Mykonos.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's good value. And I like its quality. So I said,
well,
sure.
Well, it's skincare that it does what it says it's going to do.
And it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it lasts forever. They gave me a serum to try. I became obsessed by the serum. Just putting it on all the time because it's so delicious. When you feel it, put it on.
You're very glowy.
Yeah,
yes,
you are.
You're very
and
glowy.
And your skin feels super soft and ridiculous. And I've still, and I do out a proper splurge and I've still got it. I think it's a nice choice for customers.
Lovely.
So I was like, fine.
Yeah. I like that you can buy it in a train station.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can buy it anywhere. You can
yes.
buy Number 7. It's always there for
yeah.
you. You know, you're like, oh,
cuddly.
Crusty and falling apart. And I'm at a train station. I can still get Number 7.
I love
that's what I like.
Crusty falling apart. Train station is a good name for a book.
It's
just an ode to life.
Memoir.
Yeah, crusty at a train station. I know exactly what you mean.
I've been so excited to get you on Wobble because whenever I've had like hard times with work or hard times in relationships, you've been one of those friends who've just told me exactly how it is, what I should
strict.
Do. There have been tears. There have been tears, like on multiple occasions where I've said, oh, I don't know what to do. And you've just really unknotted problems for me.
You're
like,
so sweet.
But your friends
not
say
in
that
a nice
about
way.
You.
Not in a nice way. I think I literally went, do as I say and do it in front of me. Put the tanning gun down, George. Yes.
The tears were actually from being shouted at.
I did. Yeah. He once said, I came feeling quite wobbly. wobbly, and I am leaving feeling worse. Well done, everybody. Yes. But I had to be strict with you.
About the breakup.
Yeah.
You coached me through a breakup, and a breakup is really hard. It's really hard, and there aren't many friends who can give you the advice that you need, and different people come into your life at different times at that moment, and you were such an incremental person who was just like, no, this is not right for you. You deserve better. This needs sorting out.
Yeah. But that's... but also, you need somebody, don't you find somebody slightly separate?
Yes.
You need just, if you, like, i.e., when you think you've got a problem, like, imagine you're telling somebody who doesn't know anything, they don't know all the background and blah, 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 and they'd go, what? Yes. You're with this guy?
Yes.
You?
Yeah. Yes.
I was so like, obvious. I'm angry.
Yes.
I think I told you to move in with me. Do not go home. Don't go home.
I considered it.
Yeah. I said to the kids, budge up. Yeah. And just stay.
For me, you are just that person who's always so confident. And I know that you, all your other friends say this, that you are just that person who's got their shit together.
Well, thank you.
Is how you feel?
A lot of the time, I feel incredibly lucky. So I have the best parents who always instilled in me, like, yes, of course you can. I was like, really? It's about dancing. Do it! Or whatever it is. So I'm very lucky that I had them. So, most of the time I feel confident, I think. But not too confident. I think we should all have a bit of imposter syndrome, like a bit worried. I'm a bit rubbish. I am rubbish. I'm reading out loud with this fringe, which is now almost chin length. And I think that's absolutely...
You could braid that fringe.
I could, couldn't I? I mean,
we'll do it by the end.
By the end, I will be dressed fully as a horse.
A
So I think, yes. So that's very sweet of you to say. But, and also, we all like helping people, don't we? So if somebody comes to you with a problem, you want to fix it, whatever it is. And sometimes a girlfriend of mine will go, I'm not being funny, I'm just talking you through my day. I'm leaving the house at 7, I've got to do this and that and that and that. Genuinely, how am I getting from here? Sometimes you just need to talk through stuff.
Yeah.
I like to go, don't worry, I'm on the underground planner. You're wearing flats. Let's sort it.
Yeah.
But not everybody is that kind of person. Not everybody helps other people along and unknots problems for other people and says, I'm on the other end of the phone, I'll be here, I'll sort it through. That's quite a rare trait to have, I think.
I think that's wrong. I mean, I think you're adorable and I'm enjoying being on your podcast, but I don't think that's true.
See, I will leave crying. Yeah. This is what she does to me.
Yeah. I mean, charming of you to have an opinion, but never mind. No, I find it jovial.
Emergency exit the door.
Yes, but you are out the window. No, I don't think that's true. I think actually if you ask for help, people want to help.
It's asking though, isn't it? I think people somehow feel like they're a burden or they're an inconvenience or, well, I best not ask, I've got to cope with it on my own.
But also, don't you find, and I know this is a weird thing to say, when you are having a beauty treatment, well, I'm standing there naked, having a spray tan, you have those moments where you really talk to people. You know, it's not like where you're just running in for a coffee and you don't necessarily spill. It's all quite intimate. I'm turning around asking more. And I want to know about
asking, demanding.
Telling.
Yeah.
It's not just with me that you give that advice. That you must give it when you're on set, like with makeup teams or with runners. Like I've heard Claude's before just giving people random tidbits of advice along the corridors. Like you are just such a kind person.
Oh, I don't think I am.
I think that's confident though. Do you know what I mean? I think to give people advice and to be really clear with it, you've got to be quite confident. Do you know what I mean? You've got to believe in what you're saying, I suppose.
I don't always follow my advice. Like, I'm very... When somebody has a new baby, I'm like, you have to do this, that you need to get a blackout blind. You need to... No, you make your space and their space, and I'm incredibly strict, and my 8-year-old is still sleeping in my bed. So, I mean, you know, it's just super cute. I want him to sleep in my bed. I often scare him before he goes to sleep.
He doesn't want to sleep in your
no,
bed.
No, I will sleep in my bed, and I say, I saw a ghost in here today. Night, night. Half an hour later, Mummy... In you come.
But what makes you confident?
What makes me confident? Number 7, obviously. Being nice to myself. So that means a lot of sleeping. Naps. Not going out. Don't really like going out. Go out very rarely. Don't see the point. Like lying in my own bed. Or like people coming around and feeding them. Not in a trough. I mean, I put out plates.
Never seen a plate.
Yeah, catch. he caught the sandwich. My friendships and, my family. Don't you think? Are you not confident?
Not all the time. And not, I don't feel like, I feel like I'm really looking forward to being older because every year that I get older, I let something go that used to bother me or used to really worry me. I place a lot of importance on what other people think of me and I think that's going. I'm caring less and less and less.
Yes, because also it's none of your business what they think of you in the nicest possible way. Mm. And people either do or they don't. And also, how old are you? you? You're like 11.
I'm 35.
Yeah, you're a baby.
Yeah.
35. And I, in my 20s, I was much more angsty. And have I done the right thing?
Yeah.
And just endlessly, like, as I was leaving somebody's house, I'd be writing them a thank you note. You know, that's bizarre. And wanted to do the right thing. And now I'm 47. So I love, my favourite thing is an early no. Can you come to this? No.
When is it?
That's another. Yeah, literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Can you? I love all of that, and that only that does come with age.
Do you ever get FOMO?
No, I get JOMO.
Lovely.
Yeah. Oh,
total
yes.
joy of missing out. There is nothing I want. No.
But you, like you said, it hasn't always been like that. So no. In your 20s and stuff like that, if you.
But
like,
I was play acting, so okay. I've never liked a nightclub. I've never liked standing there holding a margarita, trying to catch a boy's eye. I've never liked a night bus. I've never liked. I asked for a crochet set for my 21st birthday. I have been waiting for the age that I am. I like a heavy duvet. I've read about something called a gravity blanket.
I'm familiar.
Do you have one?
Not yet, but it's very on brand for you.
Do you see what I mean?
Sounds heavy.
It's heavy. You lie under and it's like lying under and then you sleep really well. I mean, I'm going to get one. That's all I have to tell you. So, so I've just been waiting. I'm going to absolutely love 68 and 74.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to come and find me. Zing.
Yeah.
Zing.
She's having her moment.
She'll be in a neon jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Under a gravity blanket.
Under a gravity blanket. In heaven, with a book and a child licking my forehead.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If we go back to Claude's inner 20s, because I think there'll be a lot of people listening to this that feel the same, like, because I think so much, like, I didn't really struggle in my teenage years. I quite liked it.
I was quite bookish.
Mm. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time. I liked the routine. And then suddenly my 20s happened, and that was when I feel like all that angst and all that sort of insecurity came up for me. When you think of that time in your 20s, what sort of things were tripping you up?
I think I felt like I had to be a person in her 20s, which was annoying. Going out, working. I mean, I'd liked work, actually. I mean, my 20s were fine. As I sit there and think about it, I mean, I looked bonkers. Even whiter lipstick than now, can you imagine?
Gosh.
I used the stuff that you wear when you ski. I mean, I hate skiing, obviously. But you know that, like, neon. I was just walking around London with a neon mouth.
Some trends we pick in our 20s are interesting. Yeah. Some of my haircuts have been unusual.
I don't know if this was a trend. I think that's generous.
Never took on.
It was my way of life. Yeah. But, yeah, that was my 20s. And all I really wanted, and this is not for everyone, but for me, was a baby. And I had my first baby, I think at 29, and then that was that. Yeah. Then I had an excuse. God, I never need to go out again.
I think this is a really interesting point about the baby, because I think, like you said,
I really want to say, a lot, it is not for everyone, and lots of people, they decide they want one later, or they decide beautifully that they don't want one. I wanted one.
Yeah, and that was your story,
well, I wanted
and that was
18.
Your thing.
Yeah.
I'm 35, and something happens. When you're 34, everyone goes, don't worry, you've got ages, don't worry about it. And then the clock strikes midnight on your 35th birthday, and everyone goes, have you got a plan? Have you got, I mean, if you want a baby, you really need to start thinking about it. And it's this really
really odd sort of moment.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that time of knowing you wanted a baby.
Oh, I wanted a baby from the age of 18.
Okay.
I was just waiting.
Right.
Like, took a long time for me to lose my virginity. No, what? Sorry. Baba.
But that thing of wanting a baby and not quite having one yet.
I wasn't just like, at any point I will have one. But yes, I definitely wanted one.
Because it is an interesting thing. Like, even for me at the moment, we're having conversations about adoption or surrogacy.
Yeah.
And my other half is 36. And he is conscious now of how his age, he's like, well, in 4 years, I'll be 40. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, because I'm only 32.
Yeah.
But we're trying to have the... And I think that is something in your 30s.
Yeah.
That I have a lot of comparison issues with other gay couples that have children.
Yes. Because, and when did they start? 30s.
Now. And one of my friends just sent me a picture and they've adopted twins.
Aww.
And it's lovely, but then it starts this whole niggling comparison in your head going, oh, I need to have babies. And when am I going to have them? And what's going... Like, how do you get comparison with any walk of life with any of your friends?
No,
or?
I don't play compare and contrast. I think that's just a bad... thing. I don't know why. Maybe my mum always brought me up to say there will always be people who are brighter, funnier, more beautiful, more confident, better legs, and more talented, better friends, but that's absolutely fine. So there is a joy. I mean, in telly world, think about how much the girls love each other. You know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so we really support Davina, Fern, Holly. Like, we all look after each other. Angela, all of us. So there isn't a, oh, I want that. And Emma, you know, we're all... I think women support other women and men.
But there's that myth, isn't there, that they don't? I think, you know,
women are
pitted against each other a lot.
And I love Tess.
Yeah.
Me and Tess have a laugh. We cry laughing
every
Saturday
night. Yeah, you're really good friends.
So yeah. I don't buy into any of that.
Have you ever compared and contrasted, like, in your life? Like, in that
I just
time
don't
in your 20s
think it's
or anything?
Healthy.
You've never fallen into that sort of pattern?
No, I'm just going about doing my business.
But
is
that's
that a
amazing.
Weird thing to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, it is amazing.
It is amazing, because not most people, I think, don't have that gift.
I mean, of course, when I speak to a friend, my friend has just told me she's going to Goa. For Christmas, I was like, oh, I'd like to go to Goa. I can't go to Goa. We're repainting the house.
Of course.
We'll be lying down on the floor. we're not going to the spaghetti house. And you go, oh, that sounds nice, or whatever. But but I don't want it for myself. I want everything, you know.
Yeah.
Because comparison.
I want them to have an amazing time.
I think that's huge.
That is massive.
I think it's huge that you don't suffer with that, because it's such, so many people do, and it is such a difficult trap to fall into and get out of, and it can be just really triggering.
Especially with social media.
Yeah.
With the scroll, and sometimes you will scroll, and even I'm guilty of it, of going on and seeing people that I will compare myself to and seeing that they might have got a job that I haven't got.
Yeah.
And I've had to mute them because I can't see that, because it will send me for like 10 minutes into this, oh, why didn't I get that?
Yeah.
But body confidence stuff as well.
Like,
that people can get very compare-y with their body.
Oh, I mean, I'm 47. I'm physically atrocious.
You're gorgeous.
You're gorgeous.
No, but you know, I mean, you can't. That's,
that,
you know.
Do you ever compare yourself to anyone on Instagram when you're on social media?
Well, do you remember you and I had a good conversation about Instagram, because I thought Instagram was absolutely terrible, and I loved Twitter because I love breaking news, and I was just like, no, Jules, no. The one for me is Twitter. And Twitter is now like walking in on a really bad row that you don't want to be in that room. Like Christmas Day, EastEnders, peak arguments.
There's been a lot of eggnog.
Yeah, it's been too much eggnog. You open the door and you go, I love everybody. No, I can't.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So then you go onto Instagram and somebody's doing a star jump in front of a sand dune and you go, I'm so happy.
Yes.
Good for you. Jump higher, babe. Well done. That paleo thing's working out. So I've decided to sort of love Instagram again. And the compare and the contrast thing, I think it depends who you follow, but I love my... I had a slight cull, and I now am slightly in love with it.
Yeah. And what was the cull? Why was the... What was annoying that needed to go? What
people
sort of
that
thing?
I didn't know.
Okay, yes.
Really. So I love my friends.
Yeah.
I love the fact that their four-year-old, you know, tried sorbet for the first time. I just want people that I love, and then I follow a lot of fashion because I get very excited about a Saint Laurent boot.
Yeah.
Sure.
But you do have to curate it, don't you? Like, you have to... You're in control of what you see, I suppose.
The thing I don't like about Instagram or social media is, so I'm an old lady, so, and we have very strict rules at home, so there's no phones upstairs, no, nobody's taking a phone to a bedroom, nobody's taking a phone while we eat lunch or dinner or at the tables and blah, blah, blah. When you go out and you see a gang of fantastic women and they're young, they're 22, and they're taking photographs like that, and you know it's hashtag yay, Friday, or life. And then they all sit and they're looking at their phones. You want to go, no, 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 do it later. I get it, I get it, I get it, I get it. I know I'm an idiot. Take the photo, but go back to it later. I find that bit a bit weird, that if you haven't somehow photographed the moment, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a really weird generational split because I see people doing that in restaurants and they're usually like 18
they're younger. They're much younger than us.
And they're really glammed up and it's their phone in front and they're not even talking. Yeah. And for me, I put my phone on the table. I'm guilty of that, but I turn it over and I'm engaged in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I put my phone on the table.
No,
I don't know why. It's
that.
Just a habit. I think I like my phone cover, to be honest.
Yes, that's right. I've got a phone.
That's mine.
No, it's fine. You don't have a clutch bag. You're like, yes, I made the right choice. Continue. A glass of red.
But phones and technology not at the table is a really, I think it's a really good rule to have at home.
We do that because I've got a 16-year-old who's just like, yeah.
Oh,
I'm like,
so annoying.
Dude, I'm right here. Yeah. And I want to know everything about your day. Why didn't you go? Oh, you didn't have the tuna baguette. You went for a cheese sandwich in the lunch hall. Why? He's like, so yeah, no fun.
And in terms of your body and body confidence, have you always been body confident?
No.
No.
I don't think so. But it's also fine. I'm very grateful to it.
Mm.
It's getting me about the place.
Yeah.
Made offspring. I don't really, I mean, after all, I don't really think about it that much. It feels slightly separated.
It's like
from
a neutrality.
It's absolutely fine. And it's also, I want to put healthy stuff in it, but I also like unhealthy stuff. So I'm never going to go, I really shouldn't have that mac and cheese. And I think it's unhealthy to do that in front of kids. And, you know, and my husband, if I sit there and went, do you know what, I'm going to have a side salad. That wouldn't go down well. That would be a weird date night. And also alarmingly fast. one radish. Thank you. And a knife. So it's not really what I'm interested in.
No.
In my physical appearance.
Sure.
When you're getting ready, say for date night with a radish, you have...
I'm not wearing a radish.
Because we talk a lot on Wobble about the wardrobe meltdown. And we all have it where we're getting ready at home and something starts happening and you're like, I'm not feeling right, and then nothing looks right and you can't get yourself out of the spiral of doom.
I've got the answer. Okay, there's no spiral of doom because you're going to use number 7 dark circle corrector. So that's going to make you feel zingy and light, and it's light reflective, and ba-bam, oh, all of a sudden I'm 11. That's one. And number 2, you are going to enter my world and create a uniform. So you're not going, oh, today I'm going to go as cowboy. I've got this gingham, I'm going to wear a pale denim. Another day, I'm going to go a bit goth. Or another day, you're not going to believe this, I'm going to wear a prom skirt and a t-shirt and some DMs. How does that work? I've looked in the mirror. Oh, not right. I'm making a pop video in 87. Help me. So what you have is the same. I have the same clothes. I have black jeans, a shirt. I invest in a coat once every 10 years, wear it every single day, sometimes in bed. That's it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's almost like a suit of armour?
It can be a suit of armour if you want it. There is no decision making. I don't really like making decisions. If you said to me, Claude, we could get this, or we could get that, or we could get a Thai salad, or I've heard
this. I don't think I've ever asked you to make a decision.
I can't make a decision. I don't like making decisions. That's why that's why I married him. Date three.
He was
like, do you want this or do you want... Oh, no.
Decisions are hard.
Yeah.
Too much choice is...
You don't want
ridiculous.
Too much choice. Not, yes. And also not about getting dressed. You want decisions about debates and conversations and who's coming round. And I can talk about what kind of salad I'm going to make until your ears bleed. Should it be Greek? Are we throwing olives in? Maybe that's too salty. I mean, that I can do.
Yeah.
Lentils or new potatoes. It'll always be new potatoes. Garlic-infused olive oil. Don't panic.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Boof. Yeah, but clothes-wise, I can't. I can't fart around. But again, I am 20 years older than both of you.
What bits of your body do you love?
What's this area? I like a shoulder. I like strapless.
Decollete.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Quite like my hands. I don't know. I don't have any mirrors in my house. Have you shared this with the group? I don't have any mirrors in my house, so I don't really know.
It's a nightmare.
It's quite bad if you're doing a treatment, because they're like, are you happy with how you look? Right, we'll see.
I also want to do my makeup before I leave, and I can't. I'm like,
so, and I was brought up in a house without any mirrors. So what you sort of look like, that's why, I mean, always for the first 5 years of every baby's life, I would go out and there would be, honestly, like bits of food, a whole Weetabix, you know, just covered in crumbs and baby sick up, which is so cute. It's just like the best kind of milk because it's already been eaten. And and my face, that's why I've often gone out looking disgusting.
But it's because you don't place too much importance on it.
Because my mum brought us up to believe what you look like is genuinely the least interesting thing about you. So don't worry about that. That's my problem with Instagram as well. Don't worry about the shell. Worry about the
innards. How you feel on the inside.
Because also the shell's going to fall apart, right? Crumble, go off, mould. I mean, not when you use number 7.
Only when you... The only thing that could save you.
But, you know, that's what's going to happen. So if you worry too much about that, then you're just going to be really livid at 50.
Yeah.
Are there any bits of your body that you don't like?
I mean, I don't really have legs. I've got a torso and then feet. I think I've got the body of E.T. I would like... You know, there are some people, have you seen them? When they cross their legs, they can get their legs round twice. They could...
Witches.
Can you imagine? If I was... I can
better get one leg over the other.
Then I can't. Yeah, by the time I'm like... Oh, hefty. Can you imagine just having long limbs like a little colt? I've got tiny little legs. Like for every, even my youngest who is 8, I have to do 2 steps for his every one. We go to the park and I'm like cantering along with these very tall Danish children. I'm like, wait for mummy, give me a piggyback. So yeah.
Has it bothered you?
No.
You haven't wasted any time?
No.
No.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, read some Dickens and don't worry about it.
Takeaway. You know what I mean? Not body confident. Just get a book.
Read some literature.
It'll be fine.
Read some phenomenal literature. You know how lucky you are. Yeah.
Being in the public eye and going for jobs.
Hardly.
And you are in that position of going for different jobs and auditioning. You must have been in your career.
Definitely.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you must have been rejected at some All point the along time. The way. How do you deal with rejection?
I think it's completely fine. I'd reject me. I would. I mean, like,
that's
this?
A good position to start from.
I mean, I in the nicest possible way. Who's this miniature, fluorescent orange, heavily fringed idiot? Yeah. So I would. That's absolutely fine. That's their prerogative. And then sometimes they don't. And you go, oh, thank you so much. And also, because I've chosen a weird thing to do, you have to be prepared for rejection. I think it might be worse if you're an actress and you really have to audition. You know, I'm out there.
Yeah.
We're all out there. Mm. If you're a producer, you're putting a programme together and somebody goes, what about Claude? And they go, oh, God, I can't stand her. Not her. That's absolutely their prerogative. That's not a bad thing.
And have you always been like that with rejection? Has it always been that kind of, no, this is cool?
I also think, can I really just say out loud, I think I've been unbelievably lucky, right? I think we're all agreed that there is some sort of secret magic dust that has been placed on my weird head. Because even if I've been rejected, I've got something else. And my other piece of advice, which I, like my favourite TV producer who worked with me 100 years ago, would say down my ear, because you're an open talk back, it's only telly.
Yeah.
That's only work. People go through horrible things all the time. So I just feel incredibly lucky. And already I've far exceeded what I'm supposed to do. If they phone me tomorrow and go, ha ha, we were joking, of course you're not, you know, you can't work in telly again, I would go and do something else. That's fair enough.
I love that line of it's only work.
It is.
Because I was thinking that, what would I advise my friends who get rejected? Because you know, you do go for drinks, you go for dinner with your friends, and maybe they've gone for the job of their dreams and they didn't get it, and they're so deflated.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really good bit of advice to give. It's only work.
It's only work.
But also that's
A, and B, failing's very important. I rather love, there is an American attitude, it's quite a New York attitude, which is, I sucked at that. And that's all they really, I tried this, I'm not even going to do an American accent. I tried this. I suddenly was like, somebody passed me a cigar. But I tried this. I failed. God. And failing is not embarrassing or shaming or something. You know, I will say, I tried something. I was terrible at it. So we had to do something else.
There's a pride.
It's absolutely fine. I have to say it to my kids all the time. Like, you know, my daughter will come home and go, Mummy, I can't do Latin. No problem. The good news is you can do maths. One of them is more useful than the other one. You decide. Or whatever, it doesn't matter. Failing, you know, who cares?
Failing is a positive thing.
Yeah.
And that takes away the fear, I think. If you can come into it with that, yeah, you're not going to...
And your self-preservation just has to be, if you're going to do anything like this, you have to know... Lots of people, if they watch me doing reading out loud on telly, some people will sit on their sofa going, oh, nice, and other people go, oh, please. And you can't be in control of that. You have to go, that's absolutely fine. I do that on telly. I go, oh,
yeah.
Are you joking? A knee-high boot?
What was he thinking?
Yeah. Why did he choose that?
I nearly wore mine today.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Opinion is incredibly healthy. That's completely fine.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it fair to say that you don't place a massive amount of importance on people's opinions of you?
The people I love, yes. So if I've upset somebody, if I've said something wrong, if my husband's grumpy with me, I mean, my 16-year-old is mortified by my very presence, you know, whatever, then I will try and fix that and I will speak. Yeah. But somebody who is watching me or listening to me, you have to try the best you can, and I don't expect them all to like me. That is a terrible... You can't do that if you're 14 and you're going into school. You can't go, my daughter's got 100 girls in her year. She can't go, each one is going to want to sit next to me at lunch. No. Do you know what? If 10 people do, awesome. Don't worry about the others.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about it. They want to sit... And she doesn't want to sit next to all 100. So,
yeah,
do me a favour.
Yeah. God, what a relief.
You know... It's fine.
When you're interviewing someone and say they're nervous or anxious, because you must meet so many different types of people, how do you
calm... I wrap that up.
How do you...
I say, boom!
No, but like, how do you calm someone down if someone's nervous?
Oh, well, you just have to be lovely. You have to chat to them first. It's only radio/TV. Like, who cares? I wouldn't want them to be really nervous if we were both about to operate on somebody. I'd go, oh, your hand's shaking. should we have a rich tea
biscuit? We'll take a break from this. Yeah.
But if they're talking to me about the top summer reads on Radio 2, or if they come on and do anything else, I will look after them. And if they, you know, I'll just look after them.
Do you get nervous?
Sometimes I get nervous, yeah. But I have to get nervous. If I'm not nervous, it's really...
Right. And how do you deal with it?
Let it come. Yeah. Come on.
Just let it manifest inside you. Surf so you it. Believe nerves are good?
No, I think nerves are good. My son just did GCSEs and I was trying to explain to him that he was, Mum, a bit nervous, that he has to embrace all of that. You know, it's good to be nervous. Go in, you should be nervous. You're doing physics. I'm nervous for you.
That just sent me into a whole 16-year-old me.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? If you're having a bad day, we all get them.
Of course.
Tired or you just, things aren't working.
Yeah, your hair's very tired today.
Yeah.
You don't look it.
You're doing
great.
That's
why I look like meatloaf.
You're doing very well. What makes you feel better? How do you get out of the hole?
Oh, I speak to a girlfriend.
Okay.
Or my mum.
Yeah.
Or my dad. My husband. I mean, I'm a big, I know I say I don't go out, but I'm a big chatter.
Great.
I like to lie in bed, a packet of digestives, mobile, clamped to my ear. I'm really proud of my friendships and that we've got girls who you know will go, don't be ridiculous. And other girls will go, aww. And you all fulfill a role. We're all friends with each other and you know who you need to phone depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel a bit funny, but I don't know why. You phone so-and-so or I'm so angry, you phone so, you know.
Yes, you have your go-tos.
On Wobble, we always ask every guest, what makes you wobble?
What makes me wobble is if I think I've done something wrong, if I've said the wrong thing, you know, you lie in bed at night and you go through your day, like, what have I been doing? If I feel like I've done anything at all wrong, just said the wrong thing, haven't, you know, then that makes me wobble. And sad films.
Do you, when you have those moments of doing something wrong, is that, could that be a work thing, a friend thing, or somebody in the co-op, like
all of that?
Okay. Or anything. Yeah.
If I didn't say a proper thank you, if I picked up a shirt from the dry cleaners, that, I mean, wobble is an exaggeration, but I'd just like to go through it smiley and breezy.
Yeah, do right by everyone.
I just want to do,
Something that I've always admired about you, Claudia, you're like the spokesperson for people like me who hate summer.
I hate summer.
I hate
I find
summer.
It so annoying. I don't like water. I don't, I'm offended that that's there. Water, I don't like the arrogance. I don't like summer clothes.
No.
I don't like, I'm never going to be, oh, a salad.
Yeah.
I've got this wonderful recipe of beetroot and feta. Piss off. I like stew.
Yeah.
I like a knee-high boot.
Pies.
I like heavy coat. Look at you two.
I love summer.
I hate it. I'm born for November.
Yeah.
And I love Christmas. The run-up to Christmas, November, sparkly lights. Maybe you're in a pub. I like a pub. I don't want a pub garden. I want indoors. you know, crisp.
Some dingy corner.
Some dingy corner.
Hordes. I feel seen.
Do you feel seen?
It's hard to find these people. They're hard. You know, people, I love them. Skipping through.
Skipping through with their toes out. Disgusting with their toes out, eating couscous.
If you are listening to this on the podcast and you have not watched the video, Claus has got a coat on now.
Full winter
coat.
Outfit.
Full
it's
coat.
July.
I don't have You're summer clothes. I don't have summer clothes. I once wore a sweater on a beach and I leave that with you.
You've been so wonderful.
Are we done?
We're done.
Wait, hold on. While we're here, can yes. I just say, this has been a joy and I want everyone to use number 7.
Of course.
Can I say that?
Yeah, of course you can.
Should we get tattoos done?
Steady.
But then, yeah.
Get the drinks trolley in. So when we were first working out what we really wanted to know about Claudia, we kept talking about confidence,
yeah.
didn't we? We kept going, why is she so confident? How is she so confident? Yeah. And for me, there are 3 things that make her really confident. And now the first one is something Megan also said last time on the Wobble Summer Special, which was that your appearance is the least interesting thing
yes.
about you.
Yes.
And I love that if you take that emphasis off what you look like, if you don't start with what you look like, if you start with how interesting you are or something that you know about, your confidence is gonna go up straight away, isn't it? So I absolutely loved what she said. But there is a way of taking care of yourself which makes you feel confident,
yes.
isn't there?
Yes.
And that's not about getting hung up on what you look like
no.
or anything like that. That is really taking the time to really take care of yourself, really nourish yourself, whether it's with number 7, whether it's just an absolutely lovely time that you're having with your own skin, you know, taking that time to do it, that gives you confidence, which is lovely, isn't it? Now, the second thing, which I know you and I couldn't quite get our heads around, is she just doesn't get into comparison. Like, her face was honestly like, what do you mean? Why would you bother? Why would you do that? So straight away, by taking that comparison away, her confidence has gone up, which is astonishing, because I genuinely think she's never really had it.
No, she definitely hasn't. Definitely. You could see that while we were chatting to her. What as well I really took from this is her career advice of, but there's people worse off.
Yeah.
There's always somebody, like, it's just work. It's just a job.
Yeah.
Don't stress about it. It's not the end. Like, it's not everything.
Yeah.
It's not the journey. And I think as much as she might scoff at this, she is quite philosophical and spiritual without knowing it. I think she really leads the path of, like, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just embrace it. And also, don't do anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, she's very openly says, I don't like going out.
No. And that's the third thing for me with Claudia is she really doesn't place much value on other people's opinions of her.
Yes.
I mean, she talked about her friends and family, and obviously she talks, you know, that she wouldn't want to upset anyone or anything, of course. But outside of that, she doesn't worry what somebody's going to think of her on the radio or what they're going to think of her on telly. She doesn't place too much importance there, because I think that's when we start doing things that maybe we do things for the wrong reasons. Do you know what I mean? If you're trying to please somebody somewhere or trying to please everybody, that's when things, I think, start going wrong.
I feel like this is one of those episodes that I will, and I know I say this so much, and even Claudia is my friend, I will listen back to this so much.
Yeah.
I will really soak up this wisdom and confidence that she emits.
Yeah, you come away from it thinking, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah,
actually,
literally,
it's all
no
going to
worries.
Be okay. And thank you so much to number 7, and thank you so much to Claudia for being on Wobble. This has been a little Wobble Summer Special, and we will see you very soon for another brilliant guest on Wobble.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.